98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app, and on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mr. Worldwide to infinity. You know the roof on fire. We go boogie, hoogie, hoogie, jiggle, wiggle, and dance like the roof on fire. We go drink drinks and take shots until we fall out like the roof on fire. Now, baby, get my booty naked, take off all your clothes and light the roof on fire. Tell them, baby, 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 I'm on fire. I tell them, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And this is the luckiest man in the world. Pitbull. He can't dance. He can't rap. He's ugly. I don't really know what he does except wear.
This game saw a cock. This game saw a cock in a game. Get it? He's running the game.
It's Wallach's running music.
That's right.
Yeah, you're being disrespectful talking over Pitbull.
This is the national anthem for douchebag.
It's replaced LMFAO.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man. All right, so John's favorite artist, Pitbull.
Yeah. Yes. So I was, thank you to one of our listeners, I was tipped off to this. So apparently this past weekend, there was a guy who went to the Real Estate Wealth Expo in Toronto. It's North America's largest real estate wealth expo that was in Toronto.
Tom Vu in the house?
They have all of the biggest real estate experts speaking there. And right at the top of the list of all of the guest speakers, number one being Pitbull. Pitbull was speaking at a real estate wealth expo because he is obviously a man of means. You can see it in his videos. The guy's got
Mr.
cars,
Worldwide.
Boats. Right. He's Mr. Worldwide. You can't be Mr. Worldwide and like not be able to invest in, you know, the stock market and real estate and
yes,
things like that.
Penny stocks.
Yes.
Knee deep.
So Pitbull was there and this guy gave a shot by shot description of what was going on at the Pitbull, his big seminar that he had. So he starts off and he says, so far Pitbull has advised this investment conference that they have air to breathe and legs to walk with.
Yep, and that means, you know, opportunities everywhere.
And then he says, and then he dropped this bit of knowledge on us. And here is a part of Pitbull's, this is Pitbull at the at Canada's largest real estate wealth expo.
Chico, what's the biggest room in the world? And you know, I'm thinking. Now let's put this back into perspective. I'm five sake bombs in. There's a lot of things going on in my mind right now. And I'm thinking. He just stopped me and said, hey, mate, the biggest room in the world is room for improvement.
I mean, in fairness, he had five sake bombs.
Bam.
That's Mr. Yeah. Worldwide's finest restaurants. Putting the sake on two chopsticks and then banging the table until it falls into the beer.
That's like something that, like, what's his name? Dom Toretto? From the Fast and the Furious would have said,
largest room in the world is room for improvement. Never turn against family. You can have any beer you want.
I just like
as long as it's a Corona.
Yeah. I just like the captains of industry were sitting together putting sake on two chopsticks and banging the table until it fell into the beer. And going, sake bomb! And everyone goes, hey!
Listen how they just fell on deaf ears. Like, nobody says a word.
No.
He's like, expecting your mind to explode at that moment. Room for improvements. Biggest room in the world.
Yeah, he's like a tiny, bald Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm.
Biggest room in the world is room for improvement. This, to me, is what it's all about. Because you got to remember, I make music. But in a lot of that music, there's a lot of hidden messages.
Oh, boy. Like, turn it off.
Fireball.
Oh, what's the hidden message in this?
Mommy got an ass like a donkey with a monkey. Look like King Kong. Work to the crib real fast. Yep. That's what it is with the women down here.
She's legs like a monkey?
Woman got an ass like a donkey with a monkey. Looks like King Kong. Hidden messages in there. You know what that is? World peace. Why don't we all just get along?
It's actually a map to treasure.
For a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Yarr! Mommer got an ass like a monkey with a donkey. Look like King Kong.
So this is supposed to be something that's attractive?
Listen, there's hidden messages in his music. I mean, there's... Okay, the Biggity Boys and Diggity Dog. I can see, like, Confucius sitting around listening to that.
Wow.
The Biggity Boys and Diggity Dog. That means no man is an island.
That means buy real estate.
But in a lot of that music, there's a lot of hidden messages. that y'all might, you might not understand, let's just say. And I have to decode, decipher, dissect, and teach to you guys on what really was going on in that music and where it was coming from. So for me to be in a room for people that are no longer hearing, because people hear music.
Okay, oh, wait a second. You're going to go out on a limb and say that people use their ears to hear music?
Some people use their face, like their whole face, and it doesn't work quite as well.
I mean, I've bent over in front of a bunch of speakers with my hands over the ears, and I could hear it just as well.
All right. There's a certain percentage of people that listen to music. That's a big difference. Big difference. And that's a big difference to me in life, between hearing and listening. Hearing is what your parents would tell you, or what they would tell me, is going in one ear and coming out the other. When you listen, it's different. Because if you take the word listen and you scramble it up, it makes another word, which is silent.
What? Yes, Gandalf.
Does that work?
somebody scramble that around.
Yeah, see, do a word scramble and see if that even works.
Just listen means silent. In the meanwhile, let me try to decipher the hidden messages. Face down, booty up, timber. The way we like the world. Okay.
Big thumbs up. It actually does work.
Well, listen.
I didn't say it was possible, but listen. It does work.
Do you mean listen or do you mean silent?
I mean,
which one do you do?
Get him involved in a crossword puzzle.
Okay. Well, this story goes on because start going to different. If you want some more like Pitbull wisdom, we got plenty of it coming.
I just like he had the balls to say that there's hidden messages in his song.
And there is.
Be not working hard.
Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak.
But better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak.
Let me rhyme Kodak with Kodak.
Yeah, the big secret is not to rhyme. That would get in the way of the message. Oh, my God. Ugh.
Listen, I mean, there's hidden messages everywhere. We all know that.
Right.
I'm on fire. That means he's on fire.
Well, that was a shout out to the fire department.
Of course it is.
All right. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank. We're going to talk to Bob Beers. A little Bruins coming up.
Mommy got an ass like a donkey with a monkey. Look like King Kong.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny. You're on a roll. I am busting a gut.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A little rest would be nice if that hard last month and a half, but then obviously we'll do some video and continue to work on some areas that we need to be a little bit better at. We'll go through all that next practice.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Bruins last night, the fall to the Florida Panthers. They looked really unconcerned with the game until the third period.
That third period was unbelievable. I was telling Walk and you guys earlier, like, I thought that there were probably three or four times during that double minor where the when they're on the power play that I was like, how did that not go in?
I can't get that past Pasternak chance out of my head. He was parked right there at the post and couldn't stuff it in. And give Luongo credit. He made a great save on one of the chances, but still,
Bob
that should have tied the game.
Is the person on the radio broadcast that is not living with Billy Jaffe.
That would be his partner, yes.
Surratt is.
I'm sure he was invited.
No, Bob actually is a man and purchased his own place. Bob Beers, hello, sir.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
We are doing well. All right. So I wish that they could have rested, but last night they, you know, had a lineup and to play to win. What did you take out of that game? You know, it was an important game. They didn't play particularly interested until the third period. Does that matter going into the playoffs?
Well, I think the last few games kind of matters. That's I hope it doesn't matter. Let's put it that way. But because they haven't played all that well the last few games, and there's been some times, you know, there's been some periods where they've been really good, like the third period yesterday. But for the most part, recently, it just looks like everything's kind of added up, you know, the last month and a half, whatever it's been. All the games that they've had to play, a lot of important games where they've played against teams that, you know, that were trying to get into the playoffs or playing for seeding. It just seems like it all added up last night or over the last couple of days. And, you know, it hasn't been their best, but, you know, we all know that. They know that. And, you know, hoping that they can kind of turn the corner here when Thursday comes around and get back to the team that, you know, put them in this position because it's been impressive most of the season. It's just lately they've hit a bump in the road, and you know, whether it's looking at, all right, we've got our position, we've, you know, we're going to be in the playoffs, let's just get the playoffs started, or whether it's, you know, something else, I'm not sure yet. But you know, there's a little concern, but hopefully, you know, when Thursday comes around, it's just, you know, the new season starts, and you know, you get the team back that's gotten them to this point.
Bob, when you were a player, how much of that human nature of realizing you can take your foot off the gas a little bit, how tough is it to avoid doing that? And if you do going into the playoffs, how tough is it to get back into that form where you're in playoff form and you're actually trying to win and get back to where you were?
You know, they all talk about, hey, you know, we want to be playing our best hockey going into the playoffs. But the fact of the matter is, once Thursday hits, it's a new season, and you hit a reset button. So, I've been on teams that have struggled going into the playoffs, and all of a sudden they turn it around. I've been on teams that, you know, are playing really well going into the playoffs, and, you know, it doesn't mean anything once Thursday comes here. So, you know, the reality is, okay, Thursday you're playing against one team. You know, you're not playing against a bunch of other teams. You're not traveling all over the place. It's level playing field. You know, it's you and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you have the same schedule. You have the same, you know, same team night after night. It's just a matter of, you know, a little adjustments that you make throughout a playoff series. It's a matter of, you know, making sure that you're ready to play, you're ready to sacrifice and do whatever you need to win. So, as much as you'd love to be playing good hockey coming into the playoffs, you know, I don't think it matters all that much. You know, people say that, people, you know, talk about that just because that's what they're supposed to say coming into the playoffs.
Sure.
But once it starts, you know, it's a whole new season. What you've done for the whole regular season is completely forgotten.
Rick Nash, I take it, is going to play. I know you don't know for sure. But how difficult is it to just walk right into the playoffs when you've been gone for so long?
Well, that's only something he can answer. I don't know. I mean, he hasn't been gone that long, right? But concussions are funny, and I think players react to them differently. You know, each player reacts a little differently to a concussion. So him coming back here, you know, only he can answer that. When he comes back, his play will answer that. You know, he's a guy that can obviously make a difference, and he was brought in here to make a difference. And, you know, when you've got the first line that, you know, with Marchand and Pastrnak and Bergeron, and they're trying to find their game right now, no question. But when you've got a second line that can really make a difference, then, you know, that makes the first line's job a little bit easier. So having Rick Nash come in and play the way he's supposed to is going to be big for them. And that's a bit of an unknown. I mean, you know, how many games has Krejci, Nash, and let's just say, for instance, DeBrusk, I'm assuming he's going to be on the left wing. I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, how many games have they played together? Not many. So, yeah, it's an X factor. But he's a guy that can, you know, he's a guy that can turn things around. He's a very, very good player when he's on. But coming off a concussion, I can't give you a complete answer because, you know, everybody reacts to those concussions differently.
So, Bob Beers, the Bruins have a losing record this season against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Though, you know, Wallach was noting that earlier that two of those losses came before that time in November where they really turned things around and seemed to play like a different team. From the four games that you saw them play, what can you take out of it as far as where both teams are right now and how the matchup is going to work out here in the playoffs?
Yeah, I really don't read a whole lot in the regular season. I mean, you know, if it was New Jersey, the Bruins beat them three times, and they could have lost all three games. And against Toronto, as you noted, you know, two of the games were earlier. Three games were without Austin Matthews in the lineup.
Yeah.
And the three games without Austin Matthews were the games that they lost. So it's really hard to read into and to predict from what happened in the regular season. I like having home ice against them to be able to line up and to match up lines. I think it's important against them that Toronto's speed is very, very good, and it will give the Bruins some problems if you allow them to get going, if you allow them to use that speed and use their offensive capabilities. Defensively, you can certainly get to them. They're not a team that can really lock you down and shut you down. You know, they're going to give up their chances, and that's where the Bruins have to take advantage. But, you know, when the Bruins are really on, when they're really playing their game, and that was, you know, that was, you know, the middle part of the season, you know, they can shut teams down. They were the number one defensive team in the league for quite a while, and that was because they would shut teams down. They would take away their chances. They would really frustrate teams. They'd get off to early leads. That's something they haven't done in a while. And then build on leads because they would wear teams down with their four-line approach where they could continue to come at you, you know, line after line after line, and they would get stronger as the game went on, where other teams would get frustrated as the game went on. And that's something that they have to do against Toronto because Toronto's an explosive team. They can score. They've got a very good power play. They've got a very good offensive team. And you know, I just think that, you know, that's where the Bruins have to play well in order to succeed. They have to really get back to that good, defensive, frustrating type of hockey.
All right. Who do you like better? Who would you rather have played stylistically, Toronto or New Jersey?
New Jersey scares me a little bit, but I don't think they're as deep.
Okay.
So I guess in that sense, you know, it would be New Jersey just because, you know, they've got Taylor Hall who has 90-something points and he's an MVP candidate. And then beyond that, I mean, they're good. They're very good. Don't get me wrong. Anybody who's made the playoffs is very good. But there's a big drop-off after that top guy in Taylor Hall and the next guy in Nico Hischier and how many points he had. So I think with Toronto, you've got three 30-goal scorers. Two of them are on their, I guess we call it a second line. And that's James Van Riemsdyk and Kadri, or second or third line, you know. So they've got a more balanced lineup, Toronto does. So in that sense, yeah, I guess it would have been New Jersey. Plus you would have had home ice throughout the Eastern Conference, you know, where, you know, if you're playing Tampa in the second round, you have home ice. Now, if that happens, you don't have home ice. But, you know, at this point, it's just, you know, you throw everything out the window. You throw all the regular season stats out the window. You concentrate on one team. You concentrate on the matchups, and you get ready to go.
Bob Beers, you can hear him on Thursday night on this very radio station, your home of Boston Bruins hockey. He's a man who's forever tan. And he's a man who just... He's George Harrison of our generation.
Hamilton.
George Hamilton. Not
Hamilton,
George
Harrison. Not Harrison.
He's Joe Harrison. He plays beautiful music. He's great at the guitar. Bob Beers, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, guys.
All right, see you, man.
All right, we appreciate it.
I'm suffering from what have you done for me lately, itis, and I shouldn't be. You know, I'm nervous going into the playoffs, but I also know that... You know, this happens all the time where just human nature takes over and you just feel like you can relax a little bit more. You don't have to try as hard. Knowing that they're capable of that kind of blitz that they put out there in the third period, if they could do that for, you know, even two of the three periods, then they're going to be just fine. I can't get over that smell of going into the playoffs just over the last five games, the way that they were so lackadaisical and it just seemed unprepared and unwilling. And
it's going to
be
over.
Tough to shake.
Maybe it carries over, there's plenty of history of teams that have this happen at the end of the season and then playoffs start and bam, they're fine. By the way, and Fred brought this up earlier, this is going to be a fun series to watch.
Sure.
Both teams can really go up and down.
But the thing is, if you're a veteran, are you playing hard these final games? Are you really going 100%?
If you know you have maybe a long playoff run to follow,
if you're a veteran,
that's a lot more physical and it's going to be much more taxing on you, probably not.
Probably not, because you also realize, just like we've been talking about, you know, you would have to give everything you had to win that one seed. I mean, I know last night was obviously a big game, but I think that for them going into that game, they didn't view it that way. I know they put Tuukka in, but I also don't believe that anybody approached that game as a must win. I think it was more about staying, like trying not to get injured, to be quite honest.
Well,
and I don't have a problem with that.
That has been my thought the entire time.
And from all we know, they emerged unscathed. No one got hurt last night.
All right. Well, we have, and now they have three whole days to rest. It's so funny about it. Just like, what can really happen in 3 days?
Well, you get a day away from the rink. I'm sure that helps.
Yeah,
mentally.
Now it's more time also for the two Nashes to hopefully get healthy.
Yep.
You know, and get back down the ice. It would be great. It would be great. Listen, if Rick Nash was back for Game One,
Rick Nash is going to be back for Game One.
I mean, he didn't say that, but it sure does sound like that.
He'll be back. Riley Nash is the wild card. All right, Pitbull was at a conference and he was giving people real estate advice?
Yeah, it was a real estate wealth expo.
Okay, so I want to hear more of this because he's delving into the subliminal aspects of his lyrics where you got to not hear, but listen.
Because listen, if you scramble the letters, is silent.
Yep. And apparently it is.
From what I see here, yes.
All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Say y'all having a good time out there.
.985 Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Pitbull, a very interesting artist because he can't rap. He's ugly. He can't dance. He's not particularly an entertainer in any way, shape, or form, but he has, in fairness, gotten like a Walmart endorsement and all these other things. If you missed it, he spoke at a real estate seminar.
It's the North American, the largest North American real estate wealth expo. And they said, well, let's get Pitbull out here to, you know, drop some knowledge. Because that's what he's known for, is his real estate investments.
Well, listen, I mean, this is a true artist. This is someone who is, you know, who's lived and died by his art. But we had played this before, but here's a little bit of Pitbull explaining how his music can lead to success. For you, not for him.
Chico, what's the biggest room in the world? And you know, I'm thinking. Now let's put this back into perspective. I'm 5 sake bombs in. There's a lot of things going on in my mind right now. And I'm thinking. He just stopped me and said, hey, mate, biggest room in the world is room for improvement. This, to me, is what it's all about. Because you got to remember, I make music. But in a lot of that music, there's a lot of hidden messages that you might not understand, let's just say.
Too complex. Yeah. They're too complex. You know, sometimes the lyrics, you gotta decipher what I'm saying when I write.
We go boogie, hoogie, hoogie, jiggle, wiggle, and dance like the roof on fire.
That means stay out of the bond market right now.
Trade war with China. That's what that means.
I mean, yeah. So they got worried about these tariffs.
And I have to decode, decipher, dissect, and teach to you guys on what really was going on in that music and where it was coming from. Mm-hmm.
Please tell me he plays songs and says, like, this is a thing about the string theory.
Oh, yeah, there's some of that.
Okay.
Tell him.
Invest in gold.
Don't play with fire. Smoking the bears, gonna dance. Don't play with fire.
So for me to be in a room for people that are no longer hearing, because people hear music, all right? There's a certain percentage of people that listen to music. That's a big difference. Big difference. And that's a big difference to me in life.
And that's the thing about a Pitbull concert, is everyone's sitting there and just really focused on what he's saying.
Between hearing and listening. Hearing is what your parents would tell you, or what they would tell me, is going in one ear and coming out the other. When you listen, it's different.
Because
if you take the word listen and you scramble it up, it makes another word, which is silent.
And by the way, people said, I didn't realize that Pitbull is the music industry's Ray Lewis.
The tongue has no bones.
I mean, they're essentially the same person.
Yeah, I don't know why listen and silent. Yeah. Like, what does that even have to do with anything?
Well, you have to be silent to listen, apparently.
Mommy got an ass like a donkey with a monkey. Look like King Kong.
Someone said, hey guys, you're missing the hidden messages in the Pitbull songs. The monkey is the bourgeoisie, the donkey is the proletariat, and the fireball is the means of production. Duh, what can't you guys tell?
Is it about the Industrial Revolution?
Apparently it is.
And this was a revolution.
By the way,
Billy Madison.
Pitbull's, this all led me to Pitbull's Twitter. Pitbull's Twitter is the best because he puts a little bit of his like advice out there, these hidden messages. He put, this is from 2014, January 19th. You know the Adam and Eve story? Maybe our society is the new Adam and Eve, and we took a bite of the apple. Look at the back of your phone. Hashtag Dale.
Like Dalai Lama?
No, like Dale, which is what he yells randomly. I don't know what it means. Dale! It means let's go.
Okay. Take a look at the back of your phone.
Yeah, it's like Adam and Eve would. We took it by the apple. Oh, the apple on the back of your phone if you have an iPhone. Boom! You did it again, Pitbull. You did it again.
Oh, wow.
You know what I say to that? I say, you're on it, Paul. The bigger the girl, the digger the dog. I'm telling you, he's blowing minds.
Yeah. Dan's saying you know every lyric because we made fun of him on such a consistent basis.
So this guy who was there ended up tweeting, he goes, after explaining to us the economies of scale in selling cocaine, Pitbull tells us that we'll always have obstacles in life and business. And then he goes on to talk about what he would do if he really had real money.
It's easy to live your life behind a screen, easy to live your life behind a phone. It's not easy to live your life on the streets. It's not easy to live your life when you gotta step people eye to eye, face to face, mano a mano. And a lot of society is missing that. And I'm gonna tell you how we're missing it. I can break it down for you. Remember, in my business, I got 6 seconds to sell you on a record. 6 seconds. So the beat's gotta hit.
Pure energy.
Wow, that's a good call. Yeah, right. My God, that's awesome.
I got 6 seconds to sell you on someone else's beat.
I want to know y'all thinking.
Yeah. I understand like the 6 seconds, but that's how like because that's how long the preview is on iTunes, right?
But he also no, it's longer than that. But he also like what he just said to set up things. We got to stop living behind screens, and here's why: because I have 6 seconds to sell you on a song. No, that doesn't make sense at all.
Or how is that face to face?
I have no idea. That's actually through the radio or a speaker. So it's the opposite of what he's trying to say.
Well, the attention span of his audience is just off the charts.
Yeah, Pitbull.
Yeah, wow. I'm out of this. I don't like success.
So the beat's got to hit.
Pure energy.
Then the horn's got to come in, whatever it may be. Just to catch
brass monkey.
Yeah, he's not.
I thought that was Wild Thing.
Yeah, it is Wild Thing. It's exactly
that was
right.
Wild Thing. He's not proving himself as a great artist here. I mean,
and that's why investment wealth.
He's the kind of guy who goes in the studio and just like, yeah, I want one of them beats, and then put over it,
and then I'll sing.
And the song's over in like 5 minutes. Yeah, he puts it together. Right, yeah.
And then I'll say. And then we have a hit. Dale.
That's the worst. Because he's benign. But that. Like a
yeah.
Like, I hate that. Like a I'm a silly goose.
From the booth, you need more fake laugh in that last line. A little more fake laugh. Could you sell it a little bit more? Okay.
I said, baby, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah,
I'm a cad.
So the beat's gotta hit. Then the horn's gotta come in, whatever it may be. Just to catch you, I got 6 seconds. Other than that, you're off to the next. Music sells everything but itself. That's my world, folks.
Music sells everything.
Boogie, 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 boogie. Pick up some Huggies.
Yeah.
Not just Kitty Little, but it's Kitty Little, that clumps all day. 6 second. Music is the only thing that doesn't sell itself. It sells everything. We're going to get up in Walmart and buy some jean shorts like the Roof on Fire.
That's the world I live in. I got 10 billion views. Aggregated, probably about 12 billion views at this point, doesn't matter, on YouTube, because it means and mind you, they can keep all that money, because that doesn't make me happy. If I had that money, I'd do real I build schools, I build hospitals, I build ways to teach people how to help people.
The Pitbull Hospital. Doctor, what do you have? Well, you have
leukemia. Can you imagine a Pitbull hospital?
You've got cancer. You've got 3 weeks to live. Dolly!
He's great. It's a Kevorkian. People kill themselves. He comes in and goes,
sorry, but you're terminal. Now, big bang, boogie, 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 bo
Ain't no cure. All right. And so he continues.
Are y'all ready to party? Okay, stop. Okay, hang on. So he continues, and this guy who was there said, very much in the Aleister Crowley tip, Pitbull tells us we haven't figured out the pyramids of Egypt, but also that you can't take your possessions into the afterlife. Pitbull now tells us that if we make fun of babies, they would never learn to walk or stop crying, but instead we teach babies. And then he says he starts talking about sigils, which are like these mystical signs, and tells us that he would put things in his music and they would come to life. So once again, he's into the mystical. And then apparently he says he asked the entire crowd if they would like to party. The guy who was there said surprisingly about a third of the hall emphatically does. And then anticlimactically, he says that he has to leave for 5 minutes to change. And now it's silent in the hall.
Are y'all ready to party? Hey, give me about 5 minutes. I'm going to put on my Superman suit. I'll be right back.
Okay.
He's going to put on what?
Put on a new suit.
He's going to get changed.
Yeah.
Superman suit.
Okay, well, maybe, you know, he's changed into Superman. Pitbull is Superman.
Yeah. Then people will take him seriously, you see, if he gets changed.
So the guy writes, it's been about 4 minutes since Pitbull asked us if he would like to party, and then indicated in about 5 minutes there would be something approximating that, still on standby. And then he tweets, a loud voiceover that segged into AC/DC's Thunderstruck just told us, without you, there is no Pitbull. And then he says, now I'm at a Pitbull concert happening inside a convention center with people trying to sell real estate get-rich-quick schemes. He says, Pitbull performing Give Me Everything stops to show us a picture of him performing on a Ryan Seacrest-hosted special and assures us that it is not Photoshopped.
Ryan Seacrest and everything that's happening in our life, they're trying to get that picture up. There you go. Yeah, that's not Photoshopped. No filters. No none of that going on. That one, that's a real shot.
Real shot of him with Ryan Seacrest.
Well, now we've all lived a life.
Says Pitbull after explaining the concept of putting zeros on the end of numbers, which in a monetary context he says is unimportant to life. Perhaps Pitbull's...
His whole thing is money. That's right. Like, that's everything. That's all he's doing.
That's right.
The whole image is him having money.
Well, I mean, he says it's unimportant in life.
Well, then why are you selling the concept of you having all this money?
So he awkwardly goes out and performs like two songs with like two backup dancers and like a PA. And then this is great. He goes later on, and this is after all this was done. He said, this is so amazing. Sylvester Stallone just came up to speak. And he said, doing a paid speaking gig at an investment conference off the top of his head, he observed to us that the clock in front of him still has a while to go. He is killing time, so he just starts talking about Cliffhanger for no reason. Why am I not at this thing? I would go to Toronto to see this if I knew that Pitbull was going to talk investing and Sylvester Stallone was just going to go on stage and ramble.
All the movies.
Stunts in that one is kind of scary.
Time.
Question and answer time.
I had to go over the line between two mountains.
Cliffhanger.
Do you remember that time that I had to go between the two mountains?
I actually remember that. Yes, I do. And then there's Pitt. This is an real estate investment wealth conference, which I don't know what either one of those two has to do with it, but God bless him, because I'd pay to go.
And it didn't move with the Stargate, will you, cops?
Tell him.
You just wasted $100.
Yeah, if more, not more. Yeah. We will return in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Just to follow up on something from Friday. So I put up a picture of the pamphlet I got with that CPAP machine, and there's a guy who's like 100 years old on it. And that was
makes you feel good.
Yeah, because that's like the audience it's for. So I look at the comments on Instagram, where you can follow me on Instagram, at Fred Toucher. Home record, effing love it. Nice job, home wrecker.
Homewrecker? What are they talking about?
The Nora situation.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, what happened was there was a guy who came up to Fred.
The couple seems happy. Bet you'd love to break them up.
Okay. A guy came up to Fred over before the game on Thursday. We went to opening day, and he said, you broke up Nora, or at least Nora's boyfriend thinks so, and wanted you to record a video as you were leaving the bathroom to her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend apologizing. You did something that wasn't actually apologizing, but it was very awkward because you had no idea what the hell was going on.
Right.
We had the boyfriend and we had Nora on. Both of them don't blame you, but still, that is very, very strange. That video, you seem like a hostage video.
Yeah, so now every correspondence I have with a listener is hell. And then my emails are filling up that, like, I'm like Costanza from an episode of Seinfeld where he told the woman that she was too good for the guy, and then she ends up breaking up with him, which is not what I did.
No, I don't think he did so at all.
This Nora situation and the idea, even though disproven, even though both ends of this coupledom have come out and said it has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it, I don't know why Rich has nothing to do with this. It's the Toucher and Rich show.
Well, it's because they're not blaming me.
Yeah, they're just blaming me.
I'm not
me.
The one who said such awful things about her boyfriend.
Well, we've cleared that up. Both parties know that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, they at least say that they don't think it happened.
Why would the guy call in and tell me that it had nothing to do with me?
To win Nora back.
Oh, I didn't
Why
think
would that win Nora back?
Because it shows that he's not angry and he's living a good life.
All right, leave me alone. I just like how it's the Toucher and Rich show, and every time it's me.
Because it's, every time it is you.
I just don't know how we
You are Teflon,
we
man.
Both,
it is unreal.
We He's both talk.
He is absolutely right.
I don't know how it is that you avoid any blame anytime.
Because
why is that possible?
Why would I get any blame if Fred was the one making fun of Nora's boyfriend and saying that she was too good for him on the air?
I never said that. And both I was of not. Them say, both
I don't
of
remember
them,
that.
We were friends. I went out there. I looked at
of
his cool tattoos.
Of course you don't remember it. I didn't say it.
The Super Smash Brothers has got every person on there. See, I know. We're tight. Me and Nora's boyfriend. We're tight.
If I talked more in that bit,
it's magical. How
what
do you
up,
do that?
What up, boyfriend guy?
If I talked more in that bit than him, it's like 5%
What's
more.
Nora's boyfriend's name?
Boyfriend guy.
Yeah, your best friends. But that's just something that always happens, is that, say I smoke more than Rich in that bit.
Yeah.
5%.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's as high as it would be if I said more words.
But Fred said some more damning words about the boyfriend.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know what I did? As I had all the guys in, with the pasta guy and the guy with the blood pressure of 1 million over a trillion. And then that was, what I really did was start making fun of her boyfriend.
Did you or did you not make fun of his tattoos?
I said that it's bold to get a tattoo of a girl's name. I don't have a tattoo of my wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriages are fleeting. Tattoos are permanent, as they say. All right, so I want to hear this Cedric Maxwell.
Okay, this is great. So this is Cedric Maxwell.
Everyone that gets... Is he doing it on NBC Sports Boston?
He is, yeah.
Everyone who covers the Celtics on that station has lost their mind. They've lost their mind.
You know who's actually been very measured? Is Brian Scalabrine.
The Scal man?
Yeah, Scal has been very measured as far as expectations.
Well, I would
Unless
say...
Unless he, in the last week, he's lost his mind. But up to this point, I think... Matter of fact, the beginning of the season, he was very—he thought that this might not be as good a team as last year. Didn't he say something along those lines?
Your best player is not playing in the playoffs. Hayward, who
the two best players aren't playing in the playoffs.
Well, no, Hayward's not playing in the playoffs, and then Marcus Smart's not playing in the playoffs,
and Kyrie's not playing in the playoffs.
Well, that's what I said. Your best player, Kyrie Irving, Hayward, Marcus Smart.
Daniel Tice. Yeah, I mean, Daniel Tice was a big piece this year. No one would have expected it.
It's all about Greg Monroe. Here.